Aleluya. Aleluya. The power of a testimony. What is a testimony? What is a testimony? A testimony is a spoken or a written record of what God has done. Simply put, what's a testimony? A spoken or a written record of what God has done. The acts of God, what God does in our life, reveals his nature. Isn't that so? If God heals you, what does that mean? God is a healer. God does not want you to die in sickness. If God meets your financial needs, what does that mean? God is a great provider. He doesn't want you to lack any good thing. He said, I will give them grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them whose walk is upright. The acts of God reveals to us what? The nature of God. Who God is. I think that's straightforward enough. But the interesting thing is that God told Israel to keep the testimonies of God. Hallelujah. If you open your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 6, I don't know the verse, but I know it's chapter 6. He told them, when you are walking, when you are sitting, when you are eating, when you are, anytime you have chance, what must you do? Tell the next person what God has done in your life. Deuteronomy 6:6. Can we read it? This word which I command you shall be in your heart. Hallelujah. Ah, when you sit. When you are walking on the way. When you are lying down. That means any which time, any which opportunity you have, what must you do? You must testify. In fact, he said you must write it and put it as a bracelet in your hand. Even put it between your eyes so that you cannot miss it. Hallelujah. You must write it on your wall. Hey! On your gate. Hallelujah. Thank you, man. God specifically told them, keep my testimonies. Why did they have to do that? Because not only did he tell them to keep his testimonies, he told them to erect memorials in places where they have seen the acts of God. I remember at least in Joshua 3 or 5, when they crossed the Jordan River, and God dried the Jordan River, and they crossed on dry land, what did he say? He said, bring stones, 12 tribes, put it, so that when they ask you in years to come, what is this stone? Then you tell them the testimony. The psalmist said, one generation to another will tell of your good works, O Lord. How will they tell if there is no record? How will they tell if there is no memorial? The power of a testimony. The power of a testimony. But brethren, it does not stop there. The reason The church must keep the testimonies of God. The reason why you and I must keep the testimonies of God are numerous. Number one, the word testimony means what? Do it again. The Hebrew root word means do it how? Again. You know, we say God is what? He's the same yesterday, he's the same today, and he's the same forevermore. Whatever he did in the years past, he is able to do today, and he will do tomorrow. And he's not a respecter of any person. What do I say testimony means? Do it again. Let's go to Revelations. There's something in Revelations. Revelations, I think it's Revelations 19. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Revelations chapter 19, verse 10. Let somebody read that for us. The power of a testimony. I fell at his feet to worship him. He said to me, I am your fellow servant. Don't do it. I am your brethren. Hallelujah. Worship God. Please help me tell somebody, worship God. Tell that person again, worship God. Why must you worship God? John 3:27 said, no man can receive nothing except he has been given to him from where? From heaven. No man can do what? Receive nothing. I like the Bible. It's very total. Except what? He has been given him from heaven. Which means there is nobody that is an achiever. We are all what? Receivers. Tell somebody I'm a receiver. I'm not an achiever. Brother Paul said, I am who I am by the grace of God. That's in 1 Corinthians 15. I am who I am by what? By the grace of God. He said, there is no boasting. What do you have that you have not received? What do you have that you have not received? When your mother gave birth to you, did you come with a jeep? Or did you come with a house in Victoria Island? I mean, the answer is obvious. There is nothing that you have that you did not receive. Praise God, somebody. He said the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Don't worship me. Worship God. Talk about his good works. Go and tell them about this vision. When you give a testimony, let me break that verse for you. When a testimony is being given, as Mama was giving her testimony, there is an anointing that is being released. That is, her testimony is prophesying something that can happen in another man's life, in another woman's life. As he was speaking, the spirit of prophecy, the anointing of prophecy, is prophesying to another life who may need that kind of intervention. Is somebody listening? That's why testimony is, Lord, do it again. So, whenever they give testimony, please be attentive. Please listen. No matter how weak and stupid it is, just listen. The testimony of Jesus is what? The spirit of prophecy. Psalm 119. Let's go to Psalm 119. Pardon me. This is all from as the Spirit leads me. You change my mama changed my sermon. And it's good. Psalm 119. There's some verses there we must carefully look at. Psalm 119, verse 111. If you see it, please read it. Psalm. Hallelujah. Your testimonies I have taken as my heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. What does that mean? Every testimony that you hear, every act of God that you hear, every miracle of healing that you hear, you've heard about Mama's miracle of healing now. That miracle of healing has become what? Your own story. Has become your heritage. You own it. It's your own story. It's the story of our family in the kingdom of God. Oh, you know, as families gather around and tell stories to the little children in those days, we have stories to tell too. And these stories are the testimonies. So, when you hear the miraculous healing of Mama, that has become your story. Why? Because you are rightly related to the God that brought it to pass. Hallelujah, somebody. I say you are the child, you are the children of the God that brought that miracle to pass in the life of Mama. So, it has become your inheritance. Just like my daughter can inherit my car, I can inherit the story of what my father did in the life of Mama. Your testimony has become my heritage forever. And what do you do with your heritage? Do you just throw it in one side? Like Esau, who does not value his heritage, sold it with for a pot of porridge. They give you a house in Victoria Island as an inheritance. Do you just say, doesn't matter? I'm sure you won't do that. You keep your heritage. You guard your heritage. You protect your heritage. They are so important. And because you are rightly related to God of the miracle, then it means that you can have that miracle. That's what it does in your heart. If something is your own, if that story has become your heritage, your inheritance, it means that same thing can happen in your life. It can happen. It can happen. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. Praise the Lord, somebody. Hallelujah. Let's look at. These things are important because if you, let me show you another story. Psalm 78. Psalm 78. You understand what I'm saying when you read this story. Psalm 78. I think Psalm 78 is a long psalm. Yeah. Let's read verses 5 to 7 first of all. Are we there? Let me read it for you. Psalm 78 from verse 5. Hallelujah. 7.
That they might set their hope in God.
Hallelujah.
And not forget the work of God.
Oh, Kasanda Kanama Yalende. Let me break it down for you. He established a testimony where? In Jacob. And made it a law. That's where we read in Deuteronomy. He made it a law. This testimony you will teach when you are sitting down, when you are walking, when you are lying down. You must teach your children. Why? Why? You see the why in verse 7. That they may set their hope in God. That they may do what? Set their hope in. What is hope? Hope is a confident expectation of good. Hallelujah, somebody. You are not setting your hope in man. You are setting your expectation where? In God. Why? Because when you hear those stories, parting the Red Sea, provision in the desert, their shoes never grow worn out. Nobody was sick. Nobody was feeble. When you hear those stories, it builds something up inside of you. It builds a confidence in you. It builds a trust in you. In this God that did it. He's still my God. This God is still our God.
Hallelujah.
This same God is still our God. Hallelujah, somebody.
Amen.
Testimony builds your hope, your confidence in the ability of God. Not in your connection. Not in who you know. I remember when we were in Alaka, I can never forget. We were building the church and we had very little money. We were doing the roof. And Pastor Kasale, we are wondering, I think I was treasurer before I became sick, we are wondering where money will come from. And the man of God said, we should not worry. They gave us a bill. He knows this. I get frightened with money. When you are a treasurer, you get frightened when they come with their bill. Where is the money now? The very next day, one person paid a tithe that covers every expenses, and there was still a leftover. Oof. I can never forget. From that day, when I saw the hand of God like that, money is no longer an issue. That's the conclusion I came to. That money can no longer be an issue when you are doing something for God. It changed my thinking radically. Changed it completely. But look at the people who don't keep testimony. In the same Psalm 78, look at Psalm 78 verse 9.
The children of Ephraim,
yes,
being armed with carrying few turned back in the day of battle.
The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. Verse 10. They did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in his law. Verse 11. And forgot his works and his wonders that he has shown them. Maybe you don't understand that verse. Those verses. The children of Ephraim, they were going to war to possess the land that God has given them. They were fully armed, kitted. But it's not the gun that you carry. He said the horse may be prepared for the day of battle. But where does victory come? Victory is of the Lord. They were armed. They were ready. But they cannot step into their breakthrough. Why? They forgot the testimonies of God. They forgot his wonderful works. When you read the story of David, or you read the story of Israel, how they defeated all those bigger nations than them. Don't you know that it's not them fighting? They were not the ones doing the fight. They were not the ones. The angels were doing most of the fight. He said, one man will kill 300 people. Even in this modern age, unless you throw a big bomb, one man with one jaws will kill 300. It's not them. It's God. It's God. So, the children of Ephraim, they were going to step into a breakthrough. But because they lacked the confidence of faith, though they were physically armed, they could not get their breakthrough. They turned back. The power of a testimony. The power of a testimony. The power of a testimony. Number two. The testimony. Let's look at Psalm 119 again, verse 99. Please take time to read these Psalms. Take time. Don't rush them. Read them and meditate on them. Psalm 119, verse 99. If you rush them, you won't get their meaning. I have more understanding than all my teachers. For your testimonies are my... Wow. Wow. I have more understanding than all my teachers. Why? Your testimonies have become my meditation. That is, if you want to grow in the things of God, if you want to go in understanding who God is, if you want to go in the faith of what God can do in your life and in the life of others, what must you do? You must meditate on the testimonies of God. He said, if you do that, those who are teaching you will be your junior. Because in the meditation is revelation. And in the revelation is accomplishment. Hallelujah. You are not only now talking from your head, you are talking from your heart. The person who has an argument cannot be better than the person who has experienced it. You are just arguing. Me, I have gone through it. I know how it feels. You cannot. The meditation of the testimonies has given me greater understanding than all my teachers. What a word. No wonder. The man who wrote this is David. He's not from the tribe of Levi. You know, the tribe of Levites, God gave them as priests to himself. But David came from the tribe of Judah. And not only was he king, he was a prophet and he was a priest. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah, somebody. The man occupied all the three offices. Yet he did not come from the tribe of Levi. And he was anointed. They call him the sweet psalmist of Israel. How did he get there? He meditated on the testimonies of God. Praise God, somebody. Praise God, somebody. Brethren, today I wanted to talk to you about David. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, I wanted to talk to you about David. I wanted to let you know that this year, which is the year of your possibilities, the year of my possibilities, hallelujah, the year of your possibilities, when devil hear that word, you think devil will be looking at you like that? Eh, this year is the year of your... Okay. What does the Bible tell you in Mark chapter 4? When the sower sows the seed, he said there will come tribulation or persecution as a result of the word. Once they give a word, the devil say, hey, this one, they want to have possibilities this year. He knows when to attack. The moment before your breakthrough is a moment of great spiritual violence. Is somebody listening to me? I say the moment before a breakthrough is always a moment of deep spiritual fight. Why? Because the devil say, this man wants to get into this breakthrough. This is the time to attack. This is the time to attack. Israel left the wilderness of sin and were going to their promised land. Who did they first meet? Amalekites. There is no spirit of Amalekite in this house in Jesus' name. The spirit of Amalekite is the spirit that is opposed to the purposes of God. They stood there. You are not going anywhere. In fact, the way the Bible describes it, it's as if they appear from nowhere. They were talking about something and said, suddenly, now Amalek. They opposed them. And God decreed. He said, Joshua, listen, no. Moses, listen, you must destroy them and erase their memory from. Anytime, when I first read those things, I said, this God is horrible, this God is tough. He said, kill them and finish them. Why? They want to oppose God's purpose for your life. And God will not have that kind of nonsense. That was why God was very angry with Saul. God reminded Saul through Samuel, go and finish Amalekites. Finish goat, cow, man, woman, destroy them. Saul said, you know, your people, they want to worship God. So they reserved the best sheep and the best cow, and they even left the king, Agag. They didn't kill him. Samuel was so angry. That's where he said, don't you know that obedience is better than sacrifice? Don't you know that? I gave you a command. You said you want to sacrifice. And that was what led to God yanking the kingdom from Saul. you will not lose your testimony. Amen. You will not lose your breakthrough. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. There are Amalekites all over the place. People who want to stop and truncate God's purpose. It is our year of possibilities. Oh, why does God say, fear not? Be strong and courageous. He said to Joshua, be strong and courageous 3 times. Joshua 1, 6, 7, and 9. Be strong. I said, but this is they were already in the promised land. But he still said, be strong and courageous. Why? He knows that the enemy is coming right then. Be strong and courageous. Jairus' daughter. They came, said, Master, don't worry yourself. Oh, you don't need to come. Oh, the girl has died. What did Jesus say? Fear not. Tell somebody, fear not. Your testimony is sure. This year, your testimony is sure. Fear not. Fear not. Brethren, the word of God to you this season is the word he gave to David. David came back to Ziklag. That's the story in 1 Samuel 30. They found that their families, everything they have been taken again by these same Amalekites. You see, when God said destroy them, they keep recurring. And that's the nature of Satan. That's the nature of Satan. They keep recurring. David got back to Ziklag. They found their families, everything taken away. The Bible said they cried and cried till there is no water to cry. I said, wow, old men, warriors, they were crying. They were crying. Great cry, great loss. They were crying. They were crying. But what did David do? The Bible says, and his people, to make matters worse, his people said what? We will stone you and kill you. You know you have a bad day when, you know the people who rejected David. The first person to reject David was Saul. Saul gave David his daughter after killing Goliath. No tax. But after some time, when they sang that horrible song, that women sing, Saul rejected David. Number two, Israel rejected David. David wanted to get favor. So, when the Philistine wanted to attack Keilah, a town of Judah, David went and defended them. And he destroyed the Philistines. As soon as he destroyed the Philistines, Saul knew. Saul had been told that David is in Keilah. You are looking for him. Go and get him there. David had to ask God again, will these people protect me or hand me over to Saul? God told him, these people will hand you over to Saul. You better run. So, he was rejected by Israel. Then David went, he said, hey, this Saul will kill me one day. Now, David now went to the camp of the opposition. He said, okay, I'm going to live with the Philistines. He has befriended Achish, a Philistine king. And that one gave him room, gave him Ziklag to be staying. The day they wanted to fight Israel, David said, I will be on your side. I will fight with you against Israel. Achish agreed. But the remaining lords of the Philistines said, this one, this fake man, this one, you want to trust this one? When we are fighting now, he will turn against us to earn favor with Saul. Can't you see his trick? So they rejected David again. Three people have rejected him. And then, after they sent them packing from the war front, they came home. After 3 days, what did they find? Their homes have been burglarized, and his followers, that he was training, he was molding the rejects of the world. When the rejects rejected you, you know you are in trouble. They rejected him. They said, we will stone you. But the Bible said, David encouraged himself in the Lord. You know why that word is very important and apposite at this hour? It is because there is a moment to our breakthrough. We have said this year is our year of what? Possibilities. And with God, nothing shall be impossible. If it is your year of possibilities, it means that God himself is going to intervene directly in your situation. I'm talking to somebody. He's going to intervene directly. But the Amalekites are there, waiting. Do you know that when David encouraged himself in the Lord, God told him 4 things. Pursue, overtake, and recover. The word of the Lord to you, church, this year, you must pursue. Help me tell somebody, pursue. Because the defenses of the enemy has been removed. Pursue. Because victory is yours. Pursue. The one who leads you never loses a battle. Pursue. You have favor with the king. Pursue, brethren. If God be for you, who can be against you successfully? This year you must do what? Set your face like a flint and pursue. Pursue. That which you want accomplished, you must pursue. No giving up, no giving in. Pursue. Tell somebody again, pursue. Pursue. The victory is yours. The breakthrough is yours. You know, the moral of this story is that David, it was not just that he recovered his family and his cattle and his animals. That was the back door to the throne for him. That was what led him to become king. Because the same battle where the Philistines rejected him was the battle where King Saul and Jonathan were killed. So you can imagine what would have happened if David, instead of encouraging himself in the Lord, did what? He started to grumble. He started to tell those people how stupid they are because he was their leader. He was the one that brought them up. He started to be angry and lose the test, fail the test. It was a test. It was a test that led him to the kingship. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah, somebody. This year, you must learn privately, individually, to do what? Encourage yourself. Where? We are not talking corporate now. When we come here, we feel the anointing, we worship. It's so easy. But at home, what are you doing? If you must live the life of courage, then you need encouragement. And the best person to encourage you is who? Yourself. Tell somebody yourself. Encourage yourself. Encourage yourself. I will never forget the testimony of our sister, Sister Dunyi. She encouraged herself. When things were tough, she went for, is it 7 days dancing? Dancing in the church. Have you ever tried to praise God for 1 hour? It's a most difficult thing. The flesh does not like praising God. Never likes it. But you cannot have joy until you learn how to rejoice. You cannot have what? Until you know how to. Hallelujah. Oh, you can know the joy of a momentary success. If you must live in joy continually, you must learn how to rejoice. Because joy is a choice. Rejoicing is a demonstration. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah, somebody. The woman of God went to the house of God and was dancing to a drum beat. Do you think it is easy? We asked some of you to laugh. You cannot laugh. You laugh. Something is telling you are stupid. Why are you laughing? What are you laughing for now? What are you seeing now? The flesh is telling you are stupid. I say, ah, laugh now. Laugh. The Holy Spirit will help you. It's a lie. You won't laugh. Talk less of dancing. Somebody went and danced. I tried it last night. I understood what she did. The first thing you must know how to do to encourage yourself is to know how to rejoice and worship God. Is somebody listening to me? To encourage yourself in this season so that you get your breakthrough, you must learn how to worship God privately. Privately. The second thing you must learn how to do is what we have just talked about. Keep God's testimonies. Listen to testimonies. Listen to it. Don't discountenance testimonies. Just like you don't discountenance prophecies. Don't discountenance testimonies. Listen. Because there is a grace release. There's an anointing release. Your faith is being built up. What has happened to that person can happen in your life. The third thing you must learn how to do to encourage yourself, because every one of us is one little step from where? Discouragement. One little step from discouragement. If I tell you this morning how discouraged I am, you will not believe that it's the same man preaching. Very discouraged. Very. But God is good. When you come into the presence of God, oh, hallelujah, the Spirit of God does something inside of you. That's what worship does to you. It lifts your soul. It washes your soul like water. And you are revived. You are energized inside. Courage is heart strength that comes from an experiential knowledge of the manifest presence of God. That's why you can come to a service and you can forget that you have challenges. Why? In my presence is fullness of joy. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. What is courage again? Courage is heart strength that comes from an experience of the manifest presence of God. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah, somebody. In rounding up, I want us to pray. I want us to pray. Let's be on our feet. Let's be on our feet as we pray. That's enough for one day. Hallelujah, somebody. Glory be to Jesus. Glory be to Jesus. Glory be to Jesus. Glory be to Jesus. We are going to pray. I don't know what you have had. You know, we started with miracle. It was dropped in my spirit. Was dropped there when our brother started to sing about miracle. And that one has been fulfilled. We are asking for more. We are asking for more. Lift up your hands. Say, Father, I'm asking for more. You are the much more God. You are the much more God. I want you to pray one prayer. Take me further in my dreams. Hey, Cassandra, ye neighbor, ye worry. Take me further in my dreams. Take me further in my destiny in God. Don't leave me where I am. Take me further. I want to move to the higher realms. Take me further. That's the prayer point. Pray, pray, brethren, pray. Pray. I can't hear your voice. I can't hear your voice. Lift up your voice. Pray as if you understand the prayer. You have dreams. I don't know what your dream is, Sister G. To be an MD. To have your own business. Yes, take me further. Take me further in my dreams, Lord. Take me further. It's my year of possibility. Take me further. Pray, pray, pray. Take me further, Lord. Take me further, Lord. Take me further, Lord. As a minister, take me further. Ah, take me further, Lord. There is still a long place you are taking. He said the journey is far. He told Elijah, the journey is far. Take me further. Take me further. Pray, brethren. Pray, brethren. We all need this kind of prayer. It's an all-encompassing prayer. Take me further in my dreams, in my destiny in God. Take me further. Kando ya la kurabo shekende ye wuri. Ilama ya kandaribo ye wuri. Ima kalende indogoroye. Wunde ma ya kandaraba ya baka la kandaria. Ima mama. My dreams will not be dead. My dreams will not abort. Take me for the Lord. Ya kamu sunna erayini yanda ya wuri. Yende bogebo ye wuri. Legebo shandari. Take her for the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Take her for the. Brother Paul said, I press forward. I press forward. I press forward. I press forward. Tell him, Father, I'm pressing forward. I'm pressing forward. There's a higher call on my life. I am pressing forward. I am going higher. I am going higher. I am pressing forward. Take me further. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Number two prayer. We have said it's our year of possibilities. Which means that nothing shall be impossible to you. Amen. That's what it means. Abi? That's what it means. If nothing is going to be, if there's going to be nothing impossible to you, it means that you are going to operate in the wisdom of God. So, the prayer point is easy. Enlarge my heart. Give me understanding and wisdom to make every impossibility possible. You know, the Bible says God has made Jesus our wisdom. He just like made Jesus our salvation, our redemption. Jesus is also our wisdom. Say, I receive wisdom to make the impossibilities that I face possible this year. Are you facing financial impossibilities? Or is it health impossibility? There is a wisdom from God that can turn things around. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Receive that wisdom now. Receive that insight now. There is something you have to do. I'm talking to a business person here. There's something you have to do. You can ask for that insight. There's something you have to do. I'm speaking to business people now. To make that business grow. Yes. To make that business to blossom. To explode beyond your dreams. And that knowledge is with God. Ask. Ask. Ask for understanding. Ask for wisdom to manage the resources of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I bless your name, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Pray again. Tell him solution is with you, God. I receive the insight I need in my business. Solution is with God. Everything that appears difficult is because you have not found the solution. And that solution is in God. There is solution to every situation, to every circumstance, but it is in God. Say, I receive insight. I receive insight in the name of Jesus. Let's begin to thank him now. Let's begin to bless him. You are worthy, Lord. You are awesome, Lord. We thank you for insight, for wisdom, to dominate, to rule, to reign. Thank you for taking us further in our dreams. We are not left behind. We are moving higher. We are waxing greater. We are moving forward. It's our year of great accomplishment. Hallelujah. All things are possible to us. The boundary lines, they fall to us in pleasant places. You are the one that maintains our Lord. Hallelujah. We give you glory. We dwell in the abundance of your house. We drink from your rivers of delight. We lay hold on the treasures of darkness, the hidden riches in secret places. We become a testimony. We become a praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Perhaps you are here, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You've never met him, but you have an opportunity now. It's the goodwill of God. When you have him in your life, you have goodwill. God's favor is towards you. You have peace with God. Is there anybody in the house who say, I want to know this Jesus? Is there somebody like that in the house? Let's pray together. Are you born again? If you die today, will you go to heaven? Hallelujah. Are you born again? Everybody is born again. Praise God. Praise God. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you. Because this year, 2013, is our year of breakthrough. It's our year of possibilities. We ask that you take us further in our destiny in you. We fulfill the dreams in our hearts by the power of your Spirit in the name of Jesus. Every solution is with you. And with you, nothing is impossible. Everything that looks like impossibility in our life, Lord, we receive the necessary wisdom and insight to turn them into a possibility. In the name of Jesus. We receive insight for our businesses. In the name of Jesus. Blessed be our God. In Jesus' mighty name, we do pray. Praise God, somebody.